There, I like the preacher that's turned on. Good morning, family. Praise the Lord. Open your Bibles to 1 Peter. Thank you, Shane. For our guest, that's Shane Lehman. What a blessing to me. And Shane and Katie lead the school where two of my little grandbabies go, and they love it. And, you know, I hope you all recognize Shane manages a budget substantially larger than the church, responsible for over 130 little lives. And that's not even talking about the, amen. That's not even talking about the ornery staff. Amen. Praise the Lord. And as Shane said, the vision that God has brought through Pastor Bill Hake over the years, you know, let's just rejoice that that doesn't change. Because in the end, it wasn't Bill's vision, it was God's vision. And so I'm Dale Armstrong. I have known Bill, I think, since about 94, 95, somewhere back then. And like you, I was one of those blessed to sit down with him. I remember he asked me to come preach in the church, and he came by the hotel to make sure I was situated. He was a good guest, or host, I'm the guest. And we had driven in, and I think it was almost midnight we got into the hotel, and here he was in the lobby, and I'd walked right by him. I didn't know. And so he called the room, and he said, "Well, I just wanted to, you know, chat, make sure you're okay." I said, "Oh, you're in the lobby. I'll come down. Let's have 5 minutes." You all know Pastor Bill. I think Terry was asleep, and I came back to the hotel room about 3 a.m. So juiced up on the Word of God, hallelujah, and ever since then was such a dear friend, and drug him around some places in Russia, Siberia, and then he drugged me around India. I still remember when the first time he took me to India, I had an AT&T cell phone and didn't know it had an international plan, and I woke up with jet lag at about 3 a.m. with a phone call from Christopher Alam, and it rang, so I answered it. You know, you got your eyes closed talking on the pillow, and I talked for an hour and a half, and I think it was $400 phone bill, because it's something like $2 a minute back then. That's an expensive missions trip. Praise the Lord. But we all have stories, don't we? And I want to encourage you, as we're all family, to just go ahead and share those stories with one another. We've got time to celebrate. I was sharing with someone yesterday, in my own personal opinion, it may not be biblical doctrine. Well, it is doctrine. I personally think that Janie Grine and Pastor Bill are watching live stream right now. And there's a great cloud of witnesses. How many of you can say heaven is home? It's the great hope, isn't it? It's the hope of the gospel, Colossians says. I hope you're going there. Turn to your neighbor and ask him, "Are you going to heaven with me?" Amen. Bob, are you going to go to heaven with me? Hallelujah. And we're not afraid to talk about that. I remember years and years ago, I'll get to the scripture, years and years ago, someone, you know, they were trying to figure out the word of faith, and they're trying to figure out healing, and they said to me, "Well, some people are critical in their spirit. Well, if what you say is true and all this about healing, well, then you'll never die." And I remember very quickly, I said, "Well, that wouldn't be any fun. I'm going to heaven." I said, "Healing's to keep me here to do what God's called me to do." And that's the other thing I learned from my dear friend, is that word purpose. Amen. Somebody says, "Well, what about premature death?" Well, let me remind you, Jesus died at 33. Got quiet in this Episcopalian church. But he said he was done. It's finished. Amen. He said he'd give you long life and satisfy you. When you're satisfied, you're satisfied. So if there's any questions about what goes on, I had 2 hours, Bob and I sat down with my friend, and I can boldly say he was satisfied. He was satisfied. Hallelujah. Yes. So we do celebrate, don't we? And so people, immediately we got questions, and they're normal questions. Well, what's next? Who's doing what? What's going to happen? So I want today just to have a real heart talk and address some of that so that we can come together and we can have unity and understand that there's a period of grieving. There's a period of healing. There's a period of rest. Let's just partake of that, and let's not push any further. I'm in no hurry. I don't know about you, but God's not in a hurry either. You know, you read Revelations, right? He said he's coming soon. Some of you'll get that. Yeah, he said he's coming soon. That was about 2,000 years ago. Amen. So I told Donna the other day, I said, Donna, Miss Donna, I have 2 speeds, slow and slower. Oh, maybe Pastor Bill, I might have learned it from him, or we might just been cut from the same cloth, Steve. We're not in a hurry. Praise the Lord. So answers to many of our questions, they'll come. Let's be patient with one another. As far as why I'm here because Pastor Bill asked me. And I want to lay that out so that we have strength and we have unity, not to take anything to myself. Perhaps you're not aware, I've been on the board of Abundant Life Center. Long time, yeah, more than 10 years. And so in a sense, if maybe you're not aware, I've been the authority over your life for a long time. You know, I feel like grandpa. I like being grandpa. I don't know anybody in here have grandkids. I like being grandpa. Terry and I have 10 grandchildren. It's like the one preacher said, if I'd have known being a grandparent was so much fun, I'd have skipped having kids. This is the way. I like it. I got a big kiss this morning from my little Avery, who's about 2 years old. She says, I love you, pop, pop. And I went out to the car almost crying. I told Bob, thank God I had boys. I never would have went on the mission field if I'd had cute little girls. I can't even go to York. She needs me. So I'm happy to be grandfather. People say, well, are things going to change? That would be my first question to answer. No. Even me standing here, nothing's changed. I stand here with a few different hats. My first hat is I'm Bill's friend. My second hat is I'm the director of Armada, of which he was a part. So I was over him in a spiritual manner. Don't need to get into all that. And then third, I'm here because I'm a member of the board. So I have responsibility. And part of that responsibility is to protect my sister and help her through. Amen. Because we love her. And I know we all do, right? Yes. I played football. Used to always have to say American football because in Europe they think that means soccer, you know. And I used to have them throw these flags at me. When I started, I thought it was celebration, but it wasn't. I got more penalties. It wasn't being offsides. I got the penalties for what they called piling on. I mean, it doesn't really matter that he's on the ground and not moving. Let's jump on it. Right? And they throw a flag at me. Well, I don't want to throw a flag at you. Let's not pile on, Donna. Hey, that was funny. Did you get it? It's not that she doesn't love us, right? You all understand. Sometimes we just need some space, so let's just slow down a little bit. And we don't need to throw flags. Give it time and let Donna breathe. And she knows we love her. She knows we'll do anything for her. She knows our support. I'm talking about all of us, right? Amen. And we'll see her through this. Already I'm amazed at the grace of God that's on her life. And Bob and I took the two boys to dinner last night. And those young men, you know, I don't know about you, but I often grade people by their kids. And boy, you raised good boys. Now, you can't always do that. You can't always do that. I mean, you see it, you admire it, but you can't always do that. I mean, obviously God needed some parental help. He didn't do too good with Adam and Eve. I said that in jest. Because sometimes I'll say something like that, and there's people that have had problems in their family, and it hurts their heart. It's not always the parents. You know, God doesn't have any grandkids. We're all brothers and sisters in the kingdom of God. And sometimes some kids make some wrong choices. It sure is good to see when they make the right ones, though. Praise the Lord. And so nothing's changing. I'm just simply stepping in for a moment as Grandpa. Grandpa's in the house. Maybe when you were a kid, I don't know about, for me, I remember Grandpa would come in the house over the Thanksgiving and Christmas, and I was shocked because my dad was 6'3", and I did whatever he said, but Grandpa came in, he was 6'5". And I was terrified of Granddad. I was terrified of the man, and he always just came in a room and was occupied it. And his voice was louder than my dad's. And when he talked, my dad did what he said. That was scary, right? So let me be Grandpa for a while. Let me be Grandpa for a while. Somebody said, well, where do I go for answers? You got a pencil? You come to me. My number, I'm going to give you my phone number. Can you believe that? Yeah. Now, at some point, I might have to change my number, but that'll be later. But I'm very serious about this. For a period of time, I'll be your point. I'll be your fence post, you know. I'll be the corner of it. 717-207-8632. Now, sometimes I won't pick up because I don't know the number. Sometimes I won't pick up because I'm talking to somebody. Yesterday I was preaching and I got a phone call because I forgot to turn this off. You all remember to turn yours off, right? I forgot to turn mine off. So I took a phone call in the middle of the sermon yesterday just because I thought it was funny. I might not talk to you, but don't be offended, please. Then just send me a text message. I'll get back to you when I can. All right. Anybody say amen? Now, I do have, I turn my phone off usually about midnight. I like to sleep when I can. But I do also have an emergency number. So if it's 3 a.m. and there's a car accident or there's somebody's water broke, you know, there's an emergency, I have a midnight emergency number. Let me think what that is. Bob, what's your number? I like that joke. I've got too much mileage out of that joke. Praise the Lord. But we're surrounded by wonderful people, aren't we? Yesterday, I taught the men a simple message on the Good Samaritan. And I want to ask the family, let's be Good Samaritans. Let's be Christians. And all of my years, when you encounter marital counseling, you got marriages on the rocks, I haven't seen a marital problem that just being a better Christian wouldn't have fixed it. You don't need to necessarily read a book on how to fix your marriage. You might be better to read that book. That one right here. I love this book. Do you still love the book? Thank God for His Word. Amen. Thank God. We got it everywhere now. I got it on my iPad. Although the battery sometimes dies. This battery never dies. Amen. When you're the Good Samaritan and you see somebody down in the ditch, you don't need to call Pastor Dale. You don't need permission to be a believer. Amen. You don't need permission to bind up the wounds, and put him in your Cadillac, and drive him to the Hilton, and slip him your American Express black card. You don't need permission. And the Lord will bless you. Amen. And all of the problems wash away. How many times as we read through the epistles, Paul said, you know, minister one to another, encourage one another, speak to one another, build one another up. Amen. And I know we can do that. And we'll get through a period of time, maybe where things are a little different, but they're really much the same. Glory to God. Because I'm believing for revival. I was blessed. Steve was telling me somebody got saved in the food ministry, the pantry, the food pantry. Is that what we call it? Food pantry? Amen. Well, that's a good place to get saved. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It made the angels rejoice, didn't it? Sometimes we need to make sure we rejoice a little bit. Hallelujah. Did you find Peter yet? So let's look here in 1 Peter chapter 5. I want to encourage you about the flock. I had an experience. Yesterday I told the men I was going to share it. And there's a few things I'm pretty much there's a lot of things I'm adamant about. And one, as it comes or relates to a local church, I really believe what Paul said about foundations. He obviously had a careful approach. There's so many scriptures that we won't look to. I'm going to trust that you've read them before or make a note and search them out. Do a little study on your own or ask ChatGPT. But, at one time Paul said, I'm careful that I don't build on another man's foundation. That's interesting. I've transitioned when Bob and I both, we've raised up churches and given them to another leader, and in particular one, none of you in here know anything about it, but that new leader, I know God told me to turn it over into his authority, but what he did is he went and got himself a jackhammer and spent 2 years cutting up the foundation. And I just asked the Lord, I said, that's just so amazing. All he'd have to do is build on what's already there, and he'd be so much further ahead. And the Lord said, well, he's uncomfortable walking the halls of that church because you're still there. He's got to get rid of you. And I thought, well, that's just not good, you know? Had another situation where I started a church as a young man. I didn't have any business doing it, but sometimes, I've heard that sometimes teenagers even get pregnant. Right? And it may not be ideal, but here a baby's coming. And I was 19 and we started a church. And started in the home of one Hazel Keys. A good friend of mine, Bruce Latterby, got filled with the Holy Ghost in that service. Not a long time ago. I'm not 19 anymore, Steve. I don't know, you look pretty good. But then fast forward. I'd been going different places. Fast forward, I don't know, 20, 30 years, I suppose. That church has gone through several pastors, and I didn't intend on teaching on this, but there was a new pastor come in, and they'd gone through, I guess, I didn't know, they'd gone through, in a different city, they'd gone through a whole bunch of problems, and this new pastor comes in, and he asks the Lord, what's the problem? And the Lord said, study the history of the church. And he went back to the history of the church and found out they'd rewritten it. He stumbled on some papers that was in a box somewhere and found out some kid, Armstrong, started the place. And then they'd erased him from the history. And so he called me and contacted me, had me come in and preach, introduced me as the founder of the church. And they're still preaching the gospel today. I admired that. I respected someone who, he didn't respect me. He didn't even know who I was. How could he respect me? What was he respecting? God. Respecting what God does, right? I almost fell down when Dan Smucker walked in. Come here, brother. Do y'all know who Dan Smucker is? Give me a hug, brother. Well, I'm telling you.
Thanks for keeping the church all these years.
Well, amen. Thank you for your part in starting it.
Yeah, you're right.
Amen. Isn't that, I wanted y'all to see, because I believe this is just supernatural when he walked in. It was seeds that we sow never stop. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
And then they multiply. Mm-hmm. And you got somebody like him that's sowing seeds. You didn't even know him. But then that's what grandparents and great-grandparents and on and on and on. And the corn I'm going to eat at Thanksgiving started in the Garden of Eden.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Amen.
So,
amen.
Thank
that's
you. You want to say anything or preach? Or
you better not tell it. Say that.
Oh, that's true. Go away. Go away. Put your Bible down. God bless. I'm telling you, that's the Holy Ghost. Really encourages me in the Spirit. Amen. And many times Bill talked to me about Dan and how everything gets started. It's a good to know where you came from. Amen. Because it'll help you know where you're going. And we're still going. We're still going, family. Amen. Now here in 1 Peter, it took you a while to find that. I'm glad you finally got there. 1 Peter 5, let's look at verse 1. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and the partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof not by constraint but willingly, not for filthy lucre. Some of these old King James words, we got to bring them back. I like lucre. I do. I think filthy lucre. That just sounds like we ought to bring that back. You teenagers ought to start saying it. Filthy lucre. My granddaughter was teaching me words I never even heard of. I'm learning all this new slang. You know, it all changes all the time. Y'all old enough to remember that. What is it now? It used to be hot, then it was cool. Then it went back to hot again, and then it was rad. Then it was... filthy lucre. Filthy lucre. No, we're not doing it for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither is being lords over God's heritage, but what? Examples to the flock. I think we all understand that our leadership will be known and remembered by our example. Power of an example. That's important, isn't it? Fathers, best thing you can do for your children is be an example. Be an example. You know, that's why your kids ought to see you kissing your wife on the cheek and hugging her and holding her hand. And be an example. You don't just have to stick, you know, a teaching or a book in their mouth. Live it out. It's like Francis of Assisi, one of the old Catholic saints, used to say. Your life is the only Bible some people read. And that was way back. Long time ago. Your life is the only Bible some people read. Whoo, be an example. Now, I wanted to draw our attention to this, and we're going to read a few more verses. But first of all, think about who wrote it. Peter wrote it. Let's think about Peter for a minute. What was Peter's office? He was an apostle, yeah. One of the original 12. Pretty high level dude, right? 3 years with Jesus, an apostle. Look at that verse again. It really amazes me, his humility, but also his family. Hey, guys, let's cut to the chase. Come on, guys. I'm talking to the elders. I'm an elder, too. couldn't he have said, listen up, boys, I'm an apostle? Couldn't he have said that? But he didn't, did he? He appealed not to his apostleship. He didn't appeal to his office. He didn't appeal to the miracles. What did he appeal to? Relationships. What's the relationship? It's another tangent. It's another area. But you might want to make a quick note and study it out. In the Bible, there's only three things that God calls you to submit to. All right? And number one is relationships. Children submit to their parents. Husbands and wives submit to one another. Right? We submit in the church to levels of relationship. You see, Peter wasn't calling on them to submit to the apostle. He was calling on them to submit to the elder. In other words, he's saying, come on, guys, you know me. In a roundabout way, because of what he works down to example, what he's saying is, I've been an example. Come on, guys. We know better. Let's do it this way. I'm not going to be above you. We're in this together. We're family. Second thing we submit to, thank God, is his word. Because this fellow with a Bible verse has more authority than this fellow with an opinion. Right? We submit to the word. Well, then the third thing we find that we submit to is the anointing. And the prophet that sees the anointing on someone else, he shuts up. Go sit down. You're not submitting to the other person. You're saying, I see an anointing moving on this or that one. And to be quite honest, submitting to the word and submitting to the anointing gets a whole lot easier when you're in the environment of relationships. It's a little bit harder when you're a stranger. Yeah. Amen? Now, I may stand in an apostolic ministry, but a lot of people, it's hard to swallow, so I don't, it's not on my business card. You know, I've seen business cards where I don't go that way, you know. But the point is, I'm not related to everybody. Just because I'm an apostle doesn't mean I have anything to say to a whole lot of people. If Kenneth Copeland walked in right now, I know he's a prophet of God. And if he walked in and said, Brother Dale, I got a word. And I said, Brother Copeland, I'm sorry, but pastor's gone to heaven, and this is a unique situation. And Brother Copeland, I'd like you to take a seat. Two things. Number one, I'm not out of line. He's not out of line, and he'd sit down. Because the office isn't how you measure things. Some of you understand that. If your father was a good man and he raised you up and your life is better than his, and you got more money in your pocket than him, and your dad knows you're a better man than he was, but that's what he wanted all along, and you might be better educated than him and smarter than him because he opened the doors for you, you're still going to submit to him. Because he's your father. Right. Relationships. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. If we know our relationships, it's not that hard. It's not that hard. And sometimes it's funny, and sometimes you can learn from that. I know when we started the church back in 2006 in Lancaster, we were in the host one night, and before the service, this fella came up to me. We had an area off stage where people were praying, and I'm just walking praying, and he comes up and interrupts me. I never saw him before in my life, and he gets right in my face. He says, Pastor Armstrong, I'm the prophet of Lancaster. I said, pleased to meet you. And he said, the Lord has sent me to tell you, I am the prophet of Lancaster, and if you receive me, you will prosper. If you reject me, you will not prosper. I said to him, "Brother, I'm the apostle of Lancaster, and I don't receive you. Goodbye." That's exactly what I said. Some pastors are too kind. I saw a long line of problems in that fella, and I'm not his answer. If I'd have known Dan's number, I'd have given it to him. But no, I wouldn't. What'd that man need? He may very well have been a prophet. Oh, there's a good chance he had a prophetic call in his life because he was screwy. And the reason he was screwy is he didn't have any relationships. Watchman Nee said, "I don't care what kind of prophet the man is. I want to know what kind of man the prophet is." And the only way you'll know that is when you're in a body. And so Peter used this word elders, which isn't that difficult of a word. It just means you're there a while. It's like Pop. Every time I look at him, I feel younger. The older he gets, the better I look. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank God. It's a simple word, elder. He's been where I haven't been for a longer time than I've been. He's seen things I haven't seen. He's made a whole boatload of mistakes I hope not to make. There's nothing more fun than to learn from somebody else's mistakes. Yeah. Amen. And I hope others learn from mine.
Teach you any of mine.
I love you, buddy. Praise God. The principle of eldership is bound up in time and relationship. And it's so valuable to us. And we could get into all the history of the synagogues. Paul wasn't introducing anything new. It was a cultural issue. It was in their society. And so he was addressing a simple fact that, hey, guys, let's modernize 1 Peter. Hey, guys, I can't call you on FaceTime. I don't have email. I ain't going to be able to get on a jet and fly to you. In fact, some of these places, you know, Paul or Peter, they'd only been there once or twice. Thank God they got them an epistle. Can you imagine how big the New Testament would be if Paul had a laptop? If he'd had email? No, but thank God we have what we had. And without all those areas... Isn't it interesting they didn't die, they survived and they thrived. They overcame sin and witchcraft and the Roman Empire and all kinds of things just by being believers. So don't despair. Somebody said, well, change is coming to the church, or, you know, now what are we going to do now? Pastor Bill is going to be in heaven. You're going to do what Pastor Bill taught you to do. You're going to be Christians. You're going to overcome the world. You're going to live by faith. You're going to preach the word of God. You're going to keep sowing and leading your neighbors to Jesus, and you're going to have a good time doing it.
Yes.
Amen. I remember when Brother Hagin passed away. I'd sit with people, and they'd cry, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do now he's gone. Well, you're going to get on with it. You're going to do what he'd want you to do. And if you don't, somebody's going to kick you in the pants so you remember. Amen. You will. That's right, Donna. She has a new ministry now. She's ordained the kick in the pants. I like that. It's in Ephesians 4. It's got to be one of them. So Peter, what did he say? He said to the elders, which is plural, feed the flock of God. Now, I want to be bold about something. When Bill was talking to me, Bob and I went to sit with him in the hospital the day before he went home, I believe. And he had a prepared message to go over with me. In fact, you know, prior to that, he had told Donna, it's time to call Dale. And it was interesting to sit down and talk with him, because when you talk to Bill... I always love talking to him, because you're going to learn 15 things even though you're just talking about one. And he's gonna teach for 9 miles to make 6 inches in the conversation, you know. And I always loved that about Bill. Well, this time I sat down, he was ready. And he went over. He did most of the talking. And one of the things is, you know, first of all, he talked about Donna. And we're going to take care of Donna. He was concerned about her future. And he made a statement. He said, well, I understand people have given to my salary and my support over the years because I'm there as their pastor. But I don't know that that will continue. And I said, oh, Bill, have you read the New Testament? I said, you know, Galatians says when you give, it's an opportunity. And I said, people have been given because it's an opportunity. It's a privilege. I said, but you keep reading and you get over into Timothy. And when you go to be with Jesus, she's a widow. It's a responsibility. I'm just putting y'all on notice. You just lay that before the Lord. Is it your responsibility? And I know he'll tell you. I know God. And so we went over those types of things and many others. But eventually we came down to the body. And there were two things that he shared with me, and I'm glad Bob was with me because he helps me remember accuracy. And those two things were simple. I know he's talked about the one already. And in what God had shared with him was a responsibility or a role. I'm not sure exactly what word to use, or a response or anointing or a requirement for abundant life to move into healing rooms, to set up a more focus. How many of you know healing's nothing new? Jesus said, go into all the world, right? Lay hands on the sick. There's nothing new about any of that. But just like you have a food pantry, you have focus. You have something that many people can sink their teeth into and work together, right? So we're gonna lean in that direction, because that's what God had put on Bill's heart. I'm not sure exactly what all of it will look like. I had encouraged Bill to talk to my good friend, also an Armada member, Brian Wills, who he's had healing rooms and healing homes and healing schools or healing centers, call them different words, for 30-some years. So we'll probably bring him in and do a seminar where he can train us up. And those that have it on their heart, you know, those David's mighty men, it was on their heart and God drew them in. Well, we'll bring forth something that's organized enough to bless people out there that didn't make it this morning. Those people that are going to fill those chairs, right? And the second thing he said, which was interesting, is he said, he said he kept hearing this word. And he said, I can't escape it. And you understand my position is I'm receiving from him. To me, it's like instructions from heaven. He said, I keep focusing or hearing this word teams. Teams. Did you know, which now he's talking my language. I've studied the teams of the New Testament. Did you know the Apostle Paul, it's going to blow your mind if you don't know this, he was associated with 22 different teams in his life. You can find it in the book of Acts and the epistle. 22 different groups, 22 what you could call teams. Well, you've been associated with probably with more teams than you realize. I mean, how many of you went to India with Pastor Bill? And it wasn't always the same team, was it? No. You know, that's just one simple example. And whenever you're bringing more than one person together, you've got in the world, you bring two people together, you got three opinions. In the church, you bring two people together, you got agreement, and whatsoever you agree shall come to pass. Amen? Teams are powerful in the kingdom of God. What does Solomon say? A threefold cord is not easily broken. So we're going to look at things in a format of team. Even so much as someone might say, well, who's the next pastor? Well, here's my answer. I don't know. But I do know God always has a ram in a bush somewhere. But I also know what Peter said here. Elders, plural, teams, feed the flock. Underline that word feed, because it's not the word feed. Well, it is the word feed, but it's not the word feed. It's the Greek word poimen. Jesus used it three times to Peter directly, shepherd. That's one translation. The other translation is feed. Feed. Well, that's what a shepherd does, right? You take the sheep and you lead them out to the pasture. You're feeding them. You're setting them out in that field so they can, clip the grass and roll around a little bit and drink the water and grow that nice wool so you can take them to market, right? Feed the flock. Somebody said, well, what's the role of the pastor? Well, he's to feed the flock. But you're really making a mistake if you think that's not your role. Let me say it a way. I really want to get this across. Because some of you have so much power in your life and you haven't pulled the trigger. And you need to have this revelation that when you sit at Starbucks and someone's sharing their heart with you and opening up and becoming vulnerable and the Spirit of God comes on you and a verse floats up in your spirit and you minister the Word of God to them, you are shepherding. You're feeding. You see, let's hook it this way, Phil. If you prophesy, does it mean you're a prophet? Oh. Well, if you feed, it doesn't mean you're a pastor. In other words, it doesn't mean you're the pastor. It doesn't mean you're the top leader or the boss or the head honcho or the buck stop there guy. Do you understand what I'm saying? But you're doing the work. If you can prophesy without being a prophet, you can pastor people without being the chief elder is what the Jews would call it. All right? Because I know God's put things in you, Steve. You know? I mean, I might have more gray hair than you, but you're definitely elder. And then again, can't compete with this man's hair. He makes George Clooney look bald. He's just got the best hair around, right? But we're elder. Right? Look at Alan, that white head of hair. Glory, that's a wisdom head. Whew! Yeah, what are you talking about? All I'm trying to say is there's more ammunition in here. There ain't no room to wonder. See, Peter couldn't get to this place. And what did he say? Do it yourself. Oh, Peter, who's gonna lead? Who's gonna help? What are we gonna do? Shut up and do it yourself.